Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Jerome Anthony and you're tuned in to Simply Save. This is season 3 and in today's episode, we're going to talk about some things that most of us thought were only for the rich. In fact, these are things that should be followed by each one of us. We're going to talk about wills and succession planning. With me is Money Control personal finance editor Kaizad Adajania, who's going to tell us more on this. Hi and welcome to the show, Kaizad.
Hi, Jerome. Thank you.
So, Kaizad, let's begin with what is a will and does someone like me really need it? I don't have much wealth, you see.
Okay, so, well, that's your first myth. That's the biggest myth, mm-hmm. Okay? That, you know, people think that only the rich people need to, you know, make a will. But what is the definition of rich? Who defines what is rich? Who defines what is average? Who defines what is poor? Mm-hmm. Okay, so anything that you have, I mean, it's not like you don't have anything, right? I mean, you will have some, you will have a bank account, you will have a few investments here and there. Mm-hmm. You would have other valuables also, which need not be just money. Okay, could be some ring or could be some jewelry or could be anything. Okay, so if you put all those small things together collectively, it becomes your so-called net worth or your so-called wealth. Mm-hmm. And it's important that, you know, over a period of time, you plan as to how you're going to give this to somebody who's going to inherit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, your spouse or your children, or, you know, your family. How are you going to pass this on to them is what you need to be concerned about. And that is why you need to think about making a will. A will basically is a plain document that makes a list of all the things that you have. Mm-hmm. And who are you going to pass it down to and how are you going to pass it down to. In simple words, that is what a will is all about.
Basically, who gets what kind
Correct.
Of
who
thing.
Gets what. Right. And, you know, a person may have 2 or 3 children, okay, mm-hmm. a spouse. Okay, mm-hmm. So, you know, there are many people down the line who can inherit what you have today. Mm-hmm. Now, you may not think that you have too many things or too much of wealth, mm-hmm. okay, but think of a scenario when, you know, someday you are not around and there is turmoil in the family and there is dispute in the family, mm-hmm. because whatever little that you have can also be sort of be claimed by more than one people. So, right. you know, instead of leaving a mess for your near and dear ones after you're gone, may as well make a will and document as to what exactly you're going to give to who. That's what a will is all about. It mm-hmm. basically gives you a lot of peace of mind and your inheritors also.
Cool, yeah, that actually sounds like the way you put it. Now it sounds, yes, we do need to make wills. But how does a person begin with writing a will? How do you start?
Okay, so it's very simple. Take a piece of paper, mm-hmm. okay? Before that, you list out everything what you have. You list out your investments, mm-hmm. you list out your bank accounts, mm-hmm. you list out your real estate, if you have a real estate, mm-hmm. okay? List out all your other properties also. Mm-hmm. List out, let's say, if you have jewelry, mm-hmm. list them out, mm-hmm. okay? And then, you know, you cover all your kind of financial assets. You can cover your physical assets, as I said, mm-hmm. okay? Both of them. And make a list of what you have. Then you write on a plain sheet of paper, make that a will, say that, you know, I am so-and-so, and I have these things with me, mm-hmm. and this is what I want to do. This particular financial asset should go to my spouse, or let's say 70% should go to my spouse, 30% should go to my kids, mm-hmm. and all of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you make a list of assets, make a list of your inheritors, mm-hmm. and then just join the dots as to what you want to do, who you want, what things to go to. Okay. So that's one thing. Okay. Secondly, what happens if you have jewelry? See, it's very easy for you to pass on your financial assets. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because you have a mutual fund or you have a few shares. Let's say you have only 10 companies, 2 shares each or whatever it is. It's easier for you to quantify. Okay, because that doesn't change. But jewelry, it's difficult. Okay, jewelry, you say that, you know, let's say if you have like 5 rings or some other pieces of jewelry you have, it could get a little bit tricky as to how you're going to write it down on your sheet of paper. Okay, so like, for example, financial planners like Gaurav Mashrola, he's a regular planner in our studios. You would have seen our videos.
Yes, yes.
So Gaurav tells his clients basically to take pictures of jewelry. Okay, you take photos of your jewelry, mm-hmm. write it on the back of your pictures or photographs, mm-hmm. as to who your inheritor of this particular jewelry would be. Okay, you make a short mention of it in your will, but attach the photographs as part of your will. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, you know, if you have 4 rings, mm-hmm. and they are of, you know, how are you going to describe, like greenish blue ring or bluish green mm-hmm. ring, mm-hmm. you know, blue to you can be green to somebody else.
Okay.
So again, that could basically lead to some kind of dispute, mm-hmm. as to what ring ring should go to who or what piece of jewelry. This is one way of writing a will more systematically.
Okay.
You write down the will, but you attach photocopies, photographs of some artifacts or jewelry, whatever physical items that you have. And at the back of the photographs, you also write as to who will inherit all these different kind of things. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the other thing is that, as we said in the earlier this answer, is that you have to write down the will. Right.
Right.
I mean, many people say that, can I just orally tell people that, you know, I want you to take this or I want you to take that.
Mm-hmm.
So, oral wills are not accepted.
Okay.
Only a written will is accepted.
Could you tell us if will is video recorded?
Will could be video recorded.
All
okay,
right.
This is a new phenomenon that's coming out over here. It's a Western phenomenon, but now even many Indians are also recording their will.
Okay.
So it, you know, if you ask me, it adds to the documentation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it adds veracity to your entire process of succession planning, but it is not necessarily a replacement to your written will. A written will still holds true in the court of law, but video will actually adds to that. So it basically gives more proof that, you know, you are of a sound mind, and in case if there is a dispute after you go, and in case if there is a dispute in the will, somebody stands up and says that, you know, this person was coerced into writing this will. So a video will basically gives more authenticity to the fact that you have written a will. You want these things to be inherited by so-and-so people.
Alright, pretty interesting there. Is there an age, Kezad, or is there, like, you know, if I'm single or I'm married, only then I should, you know, go ahead and make a will? Or, like, you know, I'm just 35, I don't need to make a will. Is there something like that?
Not quite.
Okay,
so many financial planners say that as soon as you open your first bank account, you have to start at least thinking about making a will.
Okay.
As in when you add your wealth,
or
as in when you add property or whatever, your net worth goes up, you can always revisit your will once in 10 years, and we'll talk about how to revisit the will also a little later in this show.
All right.
But to answer your question, no, there is no age.
Okay.
I think around 30s or 40s is a good age gap to sort of start planning your will, because by that time you would have more or less settled financially.
Okay.
You would have already amassed some investments, maybe a property or so, maybe some jewelry or maybe something else, which you can actually then put it down in a document and say that, okay, who'll get what after I'm gone.
Alright, fine. So Kezad, now we've written a will. Now what do we do with it? Do we keep it in the cupboard? Do we give it to somebody to keep it? How will my legal heirs know that I have a will, and, you know, how would they read it, and how would they know how assets should be divided?
You know, once you've made the will, you know, you can put it either in your bank locker, you can put it in your almira, cupboard, or it all depends from individual to individual.
Okay.
Now, because the will obviously take shape once you're gone. So nobody can really misuse or anything the will, least of all when you're alive. So it's that way, the document will come alive only after you're gone. Now, one more thing that you need to keep an eye out over here is that when you make a will, always appoint an executor. Okay, because there's somebody who's going to execute this will. Your near and dear ones, your inheritors, ideally should not be named executors, because they are the ones who are going to inherit what you have left behind. You need a third party, a dispassionate third person outside. Could be anyone. Could be a financial advisor, could be a lawyer, could be a doctor, could be a very good friend of yours, could be a distant relative of yours, okay, who will actually read out the will after you're gone. And it is that person's responsibility to ensure that whatever you have left behind gets passed on to the right person. And you need to say, have a conversation with your executor when you are making the will, saying that, you know, I am appointing you as the executor. When I'm not around, then you are the one who's going to be executing this will. And it's your duty to sort of see that how things are passed on.
Okay.
And just a couple of more things, Jerome. You also, obviously, common sense then tells you that your executor needs to be younger than you, because your executor needs to outlive you.
Yes.
Okay. And ideally as a hygiene, never have your inheritors also as the executor. Have a person who's not inheriting.
Okay,
as
who's
an
not
executor.
Benefiting from my will, basically.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
It's always safe, no? You put the two people separate.
Yes. Makes also quite a lot of sense. So, you know, another thing, now when I go and seek insurance, I mention a nominee there for my PF at work, my bank account, my mutual funds. I do mention nominees there. What happens in this case now? Should that be incorporated? Should that be replicated in the will as well?
Okay, so that's a good question, especially in a mutual fund, for instance. You know, there is a space where you add nominees.
Right.
Okay, and we know that mutual funds also have been carrying on this campaign for the past like 4 or 5 years, edging people and investors to have nominations in place.
Okay.
So I'll tell you what, nominations are not the people who would naturally inherit your money after you're gone.
Okay.
Nominations are nothing but trustees.
Okay.
So when you nominate a person, that person's job is just as a trustee. So he or she has to just ensure who this money belongs to, and that this money goes on to the successor of the first holder.
Okay.
That's what the role of a nominee is. If you have a second holder, or if you have a joint holder, or a second holder and a third holder, they are actually your inheritors of the particular investment that you're talking about. So let's say if in a mutual fund investment, say if you are the first holder and somebody else is the second holder automatically becomes the first holder and the owner of that asset.
Okay.
Once you're gone. But the nominee never becomes the owner of the asset. The nominee becomes as a trustee of the asset. Okay, so when you make a will, your will supersede all your other mode of holdings in your investments as well as your nominations also. So always make sure that there is harmony in who your inheritors are according to your will,
right,
and who your second and the third holder are as per your investments.
Okay, all right. How do I make changes to my will?
Okay, so usually every 10 years or so, once in 10 years, revisit your will.
Okay.
Okay, because you earlier said that, you know, you are in your 30s and should you really make a will? So the answer is yes. But if you're going to live till around 80, 90, then this one will not suffice. And this is
right. Okay,
you will have to revisit your will because things change, circumstances
right.
change.
Right.
You know, people get married, people have kids, somebody passes away in the interim, some new family member enters. So all these changes are to be made in your will. Some new property or new object or whatever it is, new
yes.
investments get added in the course of your life. So all those things also need to be incorporated. So one thing is that you need to revisit your will once in every 10 years as a hygiene factor.
Okay.
Second is that if you want to make changes to your will, there is a process how to do so. You add an addendum to your existing will. That
okay.
addendum is called codicil. Okay, so in your codicil, you just say that, you know, I have made so and so changes in the, you don't write the entire will again, your will stands.
Okay.
The codicil is just an addendum.
Mm-hmm.
So you just say that, you know, after paragraph 3, I make this change, or after paragraph 4, I make this change, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
Okay, okay. So that's one way of doing it. You can add as many codicils as you want, but I would say that, you know, if you are making drastic changes to your will, then make a new will.
Okay.
Make a new will and say that, I am making this new will, but all my earlier wills are now nullified. So that you have to say that.
Okay.
Otherwise, you know, people might find two wills
right.
after you're gone.
Right.
And one might say, this is the will.
Okay.
Okay. So the other person may say, no, this is the will. You know,
right.
then there's a dispute and lands in the court of law.
Okay.
So when you make a new will, always say that I nullify all my earlier wills. Because
okay.
obviously you have to put a date and all that.
Right, right. Yeah. So there is a proof that you've made
there
it
is
right
proof,
now.
Yeah.
And okay.
And you can also register your will. If you want, not all wills need to be registered.
Okay.
You can have an unregistered will also.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to strengthen your will, some people say that, you know, it's good if you register it.
Okay.
If you register it, then it further gives sanctity to your will.
Okay.
But unregistered wills are also accepted.
Oh, okay.
But some financial planners say that, you know, if you have a real estate, if you have a house,
okay.
in as part of your will, then it's best to get
registered. All right. One question, Keza, that has always been on my mind. These days, people have so many digital assets, like, you know, there are emails, online photos, passwords, blogs. There's so much of writing material, basically. So should we even bother, you know, when somebody passes on, or what kind of digital assets we should make note of in our wills?
So Jerome, that's a very important point, especially if you are addressing to our young millennial listeners.
Right.
Okay. Most of us have our emails. We upload so many pictures,
yes.
You know, over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram is there. Facebook is there.
Mm-hmm.
So all that is also personal wealth. Okay. They may not necessarily fetch you or the inheritors any money, but that's still our own imprint that we are leaving on the internet,
right.
which you obviously don't want it to be misused after you are gone. Right. So digital assets are very, very important. Okay. And especially, you know, you must have read a recent case of the Canadian businessman who had left behind a lot of wealth, but the key to that wealth was a password which was there in the email. and that was locked. So, you know, there was a lot of going around and all that. So, everything was stuck.
Okay.
So, you don't want to be in that kind of a situation where a lot of documents or a lot of things are stuck in your email, which need to be given out after you're gone, but can't be because, you know, your password goes to the grave with you. So, make a note of all those emails. Make a note of your passwords also somewhere in your email.
Okay.
Later on, if you're changing your passwords, add a codicil to that in your will, you know, as we discussed. There are a lot of photos. There are a lot of Instagram material also, which is up out there on the internet. Okay, so they may not be really useful to the people after you, but they need to be. You need to give them the key to unlock them so that they can at least, at the least, they can at least download and erase them.
Okay.
So that, you know, your thumbprint is not there on the internet anymore after you are gone.
Okay.
So digital assets are definitely important.
Okay.
Have to be included in your will. For example, if you may have a blog also, okay, you may have a travel blog also. You never know, it could be monetized a little later if you want to make a book or if you want to make an e-book or something, something like that.
Right.
And if you think that knowledge needs to be passed on, that all of that needs to be recorded in your will and what you want to do with it.
Okay.
Okay, because this is increasingly important, Jerome, for people in the 20s, 30s and 40s, because there's so much of internet out there. There's so much of stuff on the internet out there that, you know, by the time these people turn 60, 50, 60, 70 there's a wealth of data of a person would be by that time on the internet. So what needs to be done with that data also needs to be taken care of. That also is a part of your will.
With that, it's a wrap to this episode of the Simply Save podcast. Thanks, Kezad, for all these valuable inputs. In case you have any queries and you want Kezad to answer them, please do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thanks for listening.